May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Was that the appointed readings, Bracken, or was that you being creative?
That was a creative.
Oh, good. I'm proud of it. Thank you. Again, there are three places in the Gospels where the temptation of Christ, the wilderness experience, is mentioned. One of them very briefly in Mark chapter 1, the other one in Luke 4, and in Matthew 4. I mentioned yesterday, we've heard this before, and by the way, if you're CTKers, you'll hear this word expanded like really soon again. But I'm too sanguine to wait, and I'd already said we're going to do a few things about the wilderness. The Mark passage again says that Jesus was impelled by the Spirit. It's the word thrown into or thrust into the wilderness. The Matthew passage, again, as mentioned, Bracken read, says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It was intentional. The Luke passage in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, says that Jesus was led about in the Spirit in the wilderness while being tempted. There's a difference between being led about in the Spirit and then led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So the Holy Spirit kind of, in the writings of the wilderness experience, kind of covers all the issues. But what's real clear is that from Mark's passage about Jesus being thrust or impelled by the Spirit into the wilderness, and then Matthew making giving a fuller explanation that he was impelled to be tested by the devil. The word there, tempted, is the word to be tried or to be proved. And we talked about yesterday the fact that when the temptations in the wilderness experience were over, it says that Jesus came up out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's that's the point when he began to move in signs and wonders ministry. As far as we know, we have no record of Christ ever performing a miracle before the Holy Spirit came upon him. But he had this transition between the Holy Spirit coming on him as the Son of Man and moving in his public ministry, and that was the wilderness experience. So Jesus was thrust into the wilderness to do battle. It wasn't like Jesus went into the wilderness and he was just trying to have a spiritual time with his Father. He was fasting and wanted to have like a retreat. And while he was doing that, the enemy, the bad old bad devil, came after him. And that's kind of what people teach. No, the truth is Jesus went into the wilderness to be proved, to be tested, to be battle-hardened. For a warrior to be tested, because there were going to be a lot bigger battles to be fought. So he was thrust into the wilderness to do battle. Bad news for the enemy, because the devil brought a knife to a sword fight. Because how did Jesus deal with him? He quoted scripture. Scriptures are what? The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. When we go through times of wilderness, it should be the devil who's complaining about experiencing spiritual warfare and not us. Because just like Christ, if we're in a place of battle, God wants to use that to not just, it's not use the word test, it means to prove us, to give us an opportunity to grow in victory, to advance in victorious life. There's more to come. There are bigger battles to fight. David talked about the fact that when he was going to face Goliath, and when the king, Saul, said, well, how can you face Goliath? Because you're just this kid. And he told David to put on his armor. Now, Saul, remember, was the tallest person among all the Israelites. And when David put on his armor, he couldn't even move. And then he explained to Saul that he had a slingshot, basically, and he was going to take care of this man, this Goliath with a slingshot. And he explained why everything's going to be okay. Because during the years of watching the sheep on the hillside, he had come against bears and lions, and so he was prepared for Goliath. Whenever we go through a wilderness time, it's really the enemy who God intends to be under attack so that you become more battle-hardened. You're tested as a spiritual warrior so that when you come out of that place, not only have you experienced victory and therefore have advanced in your faith, advanced in your who you are as a warrior in Christ, but you're now better prepared for the Goliaths to come, because there will be Goliaths to come. What could those Goliaths look like? What did the Goliaths look like for Jesus? If the wilderness represents lions and tigers and bears, oh my, what do the later look like Goliaths? Like people being raised from the dead, all kinds of stuff. But the other thing is, let me just read this to you. And this is really fascinating to me. This is Mark chapter 1. That I really saw so clearly this morning. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger, talking about John the Baptist, before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" And John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And then there's a few more verses. That was verse 4, the last verse. And then by the time you get to verse 10, it says, "And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening, the Spirit like a dove descending on him, and a voice came out of the heavens saying, 'You're my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased.' Immediately, the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness." There's a number of times the word wilderness is used in those first 11 verses. Holy Spirit doesn't do anything arbitrarily or accidentally. Why does he put that there at the first, this little short gospel, the book of Mark? Why did he put that there? And why did John the Baptist have to cry out in the wilderness? Why did he have to go out in the wilderness and cry out? And we go, well, it's because, you know, people don't always listen, and he's crying in the wilderness. And I know that can be an application, but I believe that he cried out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, the coming of the way of the Lord. And he did that in the wilderness because Jesus, when he was thrust into the wilderness, he wasn't thrust in the wilderness just to conquer the devil. He went into the wilderness to conquer the wilderness. We live in a fallen world. Jesus clothed himself with our humanity. And Jesus went into that place as a spirit-filled man. He was led about in the wilderness. He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. He was impelled by the Spirit. But then he was led about in the Spirit, to say, if you're in Christ and in the Spirit, it's the same thing. For Jesus to say he was in the Spirit, in the Father, that union's the same thing. So the idea that he was led about in the Spirit while in the wilderness all those 40 days, that was the guarantee that the enemy was in trouble. It was Jesus that was kicking booty, not the enemy. But he also conquered the wilderness so that you and I don't have to fear wilderness experiences. Jesus knew that in this fallen world, there are things happen. Things don't go according to as God's original plan would be. Jesus came to make things right because things are wrong. The stuff that we go through, if you're going through a really hard time because of some relationship, that was never the intention of God. For there to be brokenness, separation, whatever it might be, the wilderness might be, financial, whatever it might be, emotional, whatever. The wilderness conqueror is the one I'm in union with. I don't have to fear the wilderness. The wilderness is intended to be a time for me to advance in Christ as a victorious warrior. Not just so I can experience that victory, but in preparation for bigger battles to come. Jesus came and conquered the enemy. He went out to do battle, not just against the devil, but to also conquer the wilderness so that we never have to fear that. And then we understand what's going on here. And instead of running around whining about how much warfare we're experiencing, it should be the voice of the enemy running around whining about how much warfare he's experiencing while we're in the wilderness. Amen? I just think that's an important word. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have wilderness experiences. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. That's the same word for being tempted, for being proved. In this world, you will have opportunities to be proved. Cheer up. He said, I've overcome the wilderness. Amen. 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 In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.